meditation, the Hebrew form of meditation, not the transcendental meditation, not the passive, let something flow into your thought or even focus on anything other than to learn to allow the Word of God to become illuminated inside of us through the muttering and through the murmuring, speaking it out loud in our hearts. So, but to launch this, I want to give us a promise. It's Isaiah 26:3, and this was, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, trusts in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. So the promise that Isaiah could see was that God would give us and he would keep us in perfect peace. That's back to verse 3, please. Perfect peace is shalom, shalom. It's a double shalom. And whose mind, and the word mind is our imagination. It's often translated, you know, the imagination and thoughts of their heart, back speaking before the flood, was continually on evil. David said to his son Solomon about building the temple that God is always looking at the thoughts and intent and imaginations of our heart. And so, if we take our imagination, our mind, and we place it on God, then there comes the fruit of trust. And when trust starts to have access to our soul and our emotions, then there becomes awareness that we have a strength that comes from the Hebrew word to fasten, to take hand in hand, to fasten ourselves to the Lord. And in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua was given the task of continuing Moses' assignment that Moses now had been concluded his part of it. And now Joshua was given the assignment to bring the people into the promised land. And the Lord speaks to Joshua, as he always speaks to every one of us, and is that he calls us into our identity in Christ and in our particular uniqueness in Christ, our purpose in Christ. Everyone in this room has a purpose, a unique place in Jesus to which no one else can fulfill and no one else is in competition over. We all have been known in Christ, have been made sons in Christ, and we have fulfillment and inheritance in Christ. And yet, even though that's true, if we don't have confidence in that, or if we haven't had the boldness to step into, I agree, I'm hearing you, I want to say yes to what you're saying, we can be much more overwhelmed by circumstances of life because we tend to then look around and see how am I doing by how am I doing in verses instead of how am I doing to who am I being or becoming in Jesus. So Joshua was given this promises about he would have success. In verse 5, he said, no man will be able to, Joshua 1:5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. So that's pretty good help. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and of good courage. The word strong again is to fasten yourself to me. The good courage is to stay alert, to be alert in what is happening. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So Joshua's, this is his assignment. And then again, God says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So you have now a body of revelation and truth, the what we call the Pentateuch, what is called in the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. And he said, I want you to not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You want to become influenced by and adapted to. And then he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And this is the secret. And this is the art of the Hebrew meditation. And I want to help give some practical ways to get into it, because it's how we fill our thoughts with thoughts that are overcoming thoughts versus the conflict of our thoughts that often become loops and things that are negative and destructive. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in day and night, The reason it doesn't depart from our mouth is because meditation, haga, means to mutter or to murmur under our breath, so to speak, in pleasure or dispute or frustration or fear. Have you ever worried out loud? You know, worrying over what this might mean, what's going to happen, what is this? That's meditation. But unfortunately, it's a negative form of meditation. And usually, all it's doing is empowering the thing we're trying to be free from, but it's becoming larger than it was before we started allowing that whole imagination thing to find an utterance, an expression. So he says, instead, keep the word of God. Let the word be the meditation by keeping it alive in your mouth. And where we take the scripture, we'll talk about how we do that. Because he says, if in doing so, you will observe to do, which means you will guard the word you're hearing so that there'll come a completion of the word you're doing. You'll guard the word. So many times we hear wonderful things on a Sunday or in a prayer time or something, and then circumstances just wipe it away and we can't find that word. That's because the word hasn't found that rootedness into our heart. We haven't found a way to collect it and guard it and let it grow up and bear fruit. But meditation allows you to do that because you start to kind of focus on a place in Scripture. A new phrase that I hear the Lord often say to me is a question, where are you living in Scripture, Steve? Where are you living in Scripture right now? Where are you camped? Where are you spending your collectiveness? And this is what meditation is about. You're pondering it. You're thinking it out loud. You're speaking it to yourself. I think the reason God allowed the iPhone to come was so that we could have concordances on it. I believe with all my heart. I used to spend hours with big old strong concordance. Big old monster thing, and it's cumbersome, and I had my fingers in all kinds of pages, and I'm following and writing notes and going flipping back to the back to get the definition, and then wanting to know where else it is in English, and I have to go find a lexicon to do that, and I'd have books all over the floor and trying to engage with the Holy Spirit, and God would always remind me, how much of this can you get without me? And I'd go, none. He said, well, then keep me included. Let me have the conversation. Let me control it. But now, I can sit there and just pop in my Bible and start touching words and start finding their definition, finding where they're also in the Bible. And I can go, I can let myself be immersed in a multifaceted sound of the Hebrew or the Greek and the largeness of the words and just have my own amplified Bible experience. Just love it. Love it. It's mobile. It goes with me. And that's, I'll go ahead and, when you're trying to meditate Scripture, basically I find there's three help to know what to meditate. First, where are you being led? What's got your interest? What caught your attention? Where did you feel like there was, we want to learn the Bible. You want to find a way to read through it. You want to get familiar with the stories. You want to know the books and who wrote them and what their history books, the prophetic books, and so forth. But in meditation, you're looking for the voice of God in the Scripture. You're looking for the sound that the Scripture's coming alive in, the place of interest, like the burning bush. Whoa, I wonder why that bush is burning. I wonder why that Scripture seems to be drawing me. And then, if you're not clear on that, if you don't have something like that, which a lot of times it's just a matter of attuning our ear and our eyes, then the next place I say, go to where your greatest need is and start to look for the opposite or the promise that would answer that need. So in general, Jesus is the answer to everything, and Scripture will always lead us to Jesus. But let's say it's healing or let's say it's prosperity. I remember when the Lord said to me, he said, Steve, you need a correct image of prosperity. It's about 2 years ago in your spirit. You built one in your soul when you were young. You memorized the scripture. You came, became confident in my promise. You, and you began to partner with me in your soul. But then I ask you to lay your soul down and not save your soul. And so a lot of the way in which you had built your whole confidence in my promise of prosperity was built inside your soul. And now I'm teaching you to live from your heart, to access from your spirit. So I need to put an image of in your heart of prosperity. And I knew immediately that would mean he would lead me to scriptures. And the first scripture he led me to was Haggai in chapter 2. And I heard this. It's just, again, many times when you hear the Holy Spirit, you hear it in your own voice. You hear the scripture you've read before. Or sometimes you'll hear it in somebody else's voice where you first heard it. And or you'll hear a phrase that's a piece of a scripture. And I heard, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And I knew that was in Haggai about the new temple. So I flip over there. So now I'm looking at it. I'm going, in fact, just go, would you go to Haggai chapter 2, I think about 8. Jump ahead to 8. Yeah, so silver is mine, gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Now again, I am 40 plus years in Jesus. I've memorized thousands of scriptures. I have a pretty good sense of the Bible. I've had a chance to wade through most doctrines and most, you know, winds of doctrines. I've been tossed to and fro enough, so I understand that. But I'm hearing the Lord, and I'm wanting to learn prosperity because I'm in need of it. And now he just drew my attention to this scripture, and I go to it. I go, silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. But what I do is I quickly whip out my Bible, and there's a strong concordance that I have. And I go and I find Haggai, and there in I find chapter 2, then I go down to verse 8, and every word you touch, it'll pull the word out. And so in this case, it says, I touch silver, and the silver is one word, and it's silver, okay? Got it. Why am I doing this? When I do this, I'm trying to let something that's being my attention drawn to have a penetrating effect. I don't want to just think, oh, that's a lovely thought. I'm glad that's going to be happened for. No, I'm trying to think, okay, I need to have an image placed inside my heart. I need my imagination to stay somewhere that it has not yet a place to build from. So silver, okay, silver. The silver is silver. So then I go back and I go, mine. But instead of mine coming up, it says mine and the gold. All four words is one Hebrew word. So now I get, and that word means gold. So I'm thinking, okay, that scripture in the Hebrew said silver, gold. So what's next? So I go back, and it, silver and the gold. And then, for mine saith is oracle, or says. So now I'm going, silver, gold, says. Okay, silver, gold, says. The Lord, Jehovah, says the Lord of hosts is one word, which is Sabaoth, we hear it know so often. The mass of an army, the Lord of the army. So now I'm going. So silver, gold, says Lord Sabaoth. Five words out of all those words come from five Hebrew words. Hebrews are very rich, very rich. The only other language I think is as rich as Hebrew would be maybe Mandarin or Cantonese, Chinese, and some of the imagery and some of the where you're able to have letters mean numbers and pictures have representation and stories behind. But Hebrew is by far the best, obviously. It's kind of how he built a people. And he's the God of language. He's the one who communicates scripture. So he used a very powerful language. And when we go to English, we have to take one word and kind of unpack it into multiple words to mean this, to get the meaning of it. So the silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord. But in the Hebrew, for me that day, I'm going, silver, gold, says Lord Sabaoth. So I'm going, well, what are you saying? Why are you, how does that affect? What does that mean? So then I go to the verse in front of it, verse 7. Or I'll go, I even go back a little further. Can you go up to about verse 6? Yeah, that's good. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this, his temple. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Silver, gold, says Lord Sabaoth. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So now it's something is dawning on me. Again, these are familiar scriptures. Many of us have heard messages on them. That the shaking is to bring the nations to the desire of all nations. We know that to be Jesus. And that in the midst of the shaking and the nations coming to the desire of all nations, God's going to fill his temple with glory. So then the state, the declaration, silver, gold, says the Lord. Then the next verse is the glory of the latter temple. So I'm going, wow, so in the sight of glory is your voice speaking resource. Do you follow me? I'm just discovering this because I need to know this. I need help from heaven, and I need something greater than my mind and its lack at that moment. And I've been told by the Lord, you've got to get out of your soul's not the functioning fact. Your will has been yielded. Your emotions are being surrendered. You're not using all of the things that you had in your strengths before. I want to build my image of my kingdom inside your heart, not your head. So I want to place this sound in your heart. So you let your heart have an experience inside the scripture, and now you have a place to kind of ponder in meditation. So a day or two, once I get a place, something like this, I'm usually there for 3 months. Not because it's like I'm that dense, but because I know my brain isn't what I'm trying to satisfy. I'm trying to get it in my spirit, trying to get it in my heart, trying to get it where I really get it. And my new statement is, God, I get it, but I don't got it. I see it, but I can't produce it. How many people in the Bible today can see stuff in Scripture, but you can't produce it? You can see that Jesus went about and healed everyone, but you can't. And yet that is indeed the demonstration of the church will come to the measure of Christ in his glory in the latter days. Jesus had people touch him and they got healed. Peter walked around with a shadow and people got healed. So we know there's stuff that we're not being able to do, but it's in the Bible, so it is available to do. So the first access point is when you are hearing something and wanting to see something that you're sensing in the Holy Spirit is to go find scripture that illustrates this happening. And then you go live there. By living there, you can begin to kind of go, gosh, what was happening in that moment? What was happening in this moment? And there's the miracle of God being able to manifest to a man or upon a man or begin to multiply his healing. And then again, that is in glory too. Interesting. So, but I'm at this juncture, this is about a year and a half ago, I was really, really knew the Lord wanted to imprint into me a new image. So I'm having to just give myself time to meditate and open the scripture and think about that. Lord, inside of glory, inside of glory. And I'll talk out loud. I think your mouth is like the tongue of a ready writer. It says that in Psalms 65, I believe. And it's the tongue of the ready writer. And when you as you begin to write out loud, you begin to paint a picture. And the picture begins to display images that help you begin to see what the words say. And then many times, if you're comfortable with the Lord, you'll begin to see things you didn't see before and say things you hadn't said before. And that's what we would call prophecy. And that's all through Scripture. You start with blessing and you move into prophecy. But so I'm pondering this and again enjoying it. Silver, gold, says Lord Sabaoth, silver, gold. So you just speak it, Dad. You just, is that how you produce money? Silver, gold, says Lord Sabaoth. And it's inside the midst of glory. So I'm pondering that, and then not shortly after a few days or weeks, the Lord, by the Spirit, pulls this across my mind. You know, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Let's pull it up, please. So this scripture, my God will supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going, I got to find this one. I got to look this up. And it's pretty much straightforward. God will supply, which is replete. Now, I got to warn you, if you get your concordance in your phone and you're like me, English impaired, you'll probably want to use the Google just to ask definitions or get a Webster dictionary too. Because replete, I am replete. We don't use that word that much, but it's a powerful word. It means to be stuffed and filled and completed. And so he repletes my need. My need means this, what is being required of me. It could be wages. It could be work. It could be ideas. It could be whatever is required. He will replete. He will stuff. He will fill to the fullness that which is lacking, that which is needed. According, which is always meaning God will just kind of put on top his down toward. He's just going to be the one gets involved and says, here, will that help? And the way he does it is he goes from his riches. Okay, so, and that means wealth. That means substance. I mean, he has so much wealth, he puts the streets in gold. So I'm gonna stuff, I'm going to fill the hole, I'm going to level the playing field, I'm going to raise the valleys, I'm going to make the need be met by my riches. And then it says, in glory. And I'm going, oh, there you go, there's glory again. Wow, in glory. And the in means in a place, time, or disposition, position. I'm going to, in this glory is going to come my riches to which I will place them into your need, which is how I will meet them. And then it says, in glory by Christ. But did you know if you go to your concordance, in and by are the same Greek word. So you go, well, that's an interesting way to say that. I want to just give you the right definition. Philippians 4, verse 19. In and by denotes a fixed position in place, time, or state. And instrumentally, in relation of rest. I'm pulling out dropping a few parentheses, extended thoughts. But what it means is it's in a place, a time, or a state. Fixed, and it's in relationship to rest. So inside the glory of God is the riches of God that he can pull from and direct toward my need so that I can respond to whatever it is that my need is, the obvious need I need to respond to. It can be health, it can be wholeness, it could be wealth. It comes from his riches that are in glory, and it's inside of Jesus. Not by Jesus. I mean, it is by Jesus, by what he did, but it's inside Jesus by who he is. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking, whoa. That's like a direct deposit. That's an internal transfer. Because I'm inside of Christ, and Christ is in me. So then I'm thinking, well, then what you're asking me to do, and I don't even know, I didn't plan this illustration, so I hope it's helping somebody in that particular area, because God does want, and the promise of meditation is that we will prosper and have good success, because we now begin to allow life to form our thoughts and set our emotions and allow us to experience life from the truth of the scripture versus the circumstances of life. So I am being impacted. I'm being affected. I'm having new thoughts that I haven't had before. I'm having new expectations, my hope, my encouragement. I'm just starting to come alive, and it's life. And that's the way in which meditation just started, because I had a need. I needed a new image. Okay, help me. Here's a scripture. Okay, go look at it. How does it fit? Where's the context? What's the substance? Where's the meaning? Okay, think about that. Look it up. Think about it. And all along, I'm always talking. I'm not doing it in my head. I'm always using my mouth to kind of talk out loud what I'm discovering and to converse with the Father or the Holy Spirit, whoever seems to be the one most talking to me about this, and letting it just kind of come alive. And then ready to go into another scripture, and then you link them together. You start allowing the substance of the matter to have a reflection. I forgot to let you do your testimony. I'm going to do it at just at the end, okay? Because it's just what we just talked about, we were talking about. So in Joshua, he goes back and he says, "For then you will have good success and then you will prosper, because you have occupied your mouth, your mind, your emotions, your thoughts with the scripture, and the scripture starts to find expression. And where it shows up is inside of you, not outside first. It affects my emotions, it affects my thinking, it affects my conversation, what I say, and it begins to build inside of us. So, Loretta, come on up. I want you to share that. This is a miracle, a breakthrough that happened last Sunday at second service. Yeah, perfect timing, because it's kind of an illustration.
Praise God. God's so good. He's so amazing. I shared in the first service, be really quick. Last week, in the second service, Pastor Steve had a sermon that was just so liberating for me, and I had a breakthrough. I had 14 years of something that was going on in my life. It was a mess, and praise God, the breakthrough came, and it's like I've heard messages and messages and messages over and over and over, and I would walk in them, but I personally took things into my own hands at times, and so it's basically about walking in your promises and just staying, holding it in the Lord. okay, calm down here. But what happened in my life is about 14 years ago, I just something happened and it's just a mess. And going forward, I felt I failed God. I felt I owed it to him to fix it, and I knew better. I knew that only Jesus could fix your brokenness. And so I would go off and on, and trying to get things done, and I was stuck. I couldn't go forward in life, and I knew it. Anyway, so Pastor Steve, in the message, there's an author named John Sanford, and I'll just tell you what he had said. It says, if you're in a miserable state about yourself in regard to how you have performed in regard to God, and you are pining away in your failure and what is happening to you, then what that is an indication of is you're full of pride, because you thought and think that you should be able to do better than you did. And that's what I was doing. I felt I was owing it to God, and I was trying to, there was so much should've, would've, could've in my life, and I couldn't get past that. And so it was, there was a breakthrough. Pastor Steve was going through something, and he was sharing it in the message, and he was holding it in his place, but releasing it in his mind, and yeah, holding it and praying and holding it and releasing. And finally, the Lord told him, let it die. Just stop and let it die. And I was up on the camera last week, and the words came out, oh my. And I just realized I need to let this die. And so I had, the Lord showed me I had pride in my life, which I didn't think I had. He showed me so many other strongholds in my life following the pride. And so I went home, and I knew in my heart that day I was supposed to walk. Usually I don't walk on Sundays, but the Lord, I felt I was supposed to walk. And so I get home, and since I got home, I felt lazy. I said, I'm not going to walk. So I sat down. The Lord says, get up and walk. So I got up, changed, and the place where I love to walk lately is at the cemetery. And I was sharing this morning how quiet it is. The birds are singing. It's pretty inside there. The dead bodies leave me alone, you know. So I knew in my heart I was supposed to walk for an hour. And in that hour, and I did mention it earlier, but in that hour, I was just releasing all the strongholds in my life that I allowed. And what was so neat was as I was walking, people were saying hello to me. And I thought that was kind of different, you know. And I said, Lord, you know, they're saying hello to me. And I said, this is kind of weird. You know, usually, you know, I just keep to myself and walk. And he says, Loretta, you have a smile on your face. And I didn't realize it. And I felt light. I felt airy. I just felt all things were just falling off of me. So after my sixth round, which was an hour, I was texting. And the Lord says, I want you to sit down on this retaining wall area. And it was by a tree in the shade. It felt good. I said, okay, Lord, I almost did one more round. He says, no, sit. So once I was there for a couple minutes, this car drove up. And this man just drives up by me. He goes, hi, really bold. And I just looked down. I go, hi. And just like, I don't want, you know, I just kind of like minding my own business. And he drove off, turned around, and just came really close to me. And he gets out, he just has this big old smile on his face when he's in the car. And I thought, okay, either I just happen to just sit near the place where he's going to go, you know, visit, or he's going to hit on me. And so I thought, okay, I'm bolting out of here, I'm going to bolt. And immediately when I thought that, the Lord said, don't move. I thought, okay, yeah, I guess I shouldn't move, that would look rude. And so He gets out of the car and talks about his car, and hey, do you like my car? It's an old car he fixed up, and no, I did not like it, but I was just like, it's nice, you know, and stuff, and he goes on and on. He won a trophy, he fixed it up, it was his dad's, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's gonna go tell his dad about it. So, okay, and I knew in my heart, I didn't know in my heart, I just didn't want to in my heart to ask any questions, because I knew if I did, he was going to keep talking to me. So I didn't. And so because he sat right next to me and started talking. He was bold. He told me later, I don't do this. And so he gets up, and I could tell he was going to finish his conversation with me. And I looked almost like he was kind of like disappointed. I wasn't kind of, you know, talking to him much. And the Lord, when he got up, the Lord says, engage in his conversation. And I thought, I don't know anything about cars, Lord. What am I supposed to say? I like your car, but I really don't. You know, I don't want to lie to him. And so so he gets up, and he lights up again and starts talking to me. And then he sits on the other side of me in the shade where it's nice and cool. I thought, well, okay, we're going to be here a while now. And so, and as soon as I thought that, the Lord says, Loretta, this is not about you. I have a divine appointment with him. He has a divine appointment with me. And I thought, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to incorporate Jesus into his car conversation. Help me to do this because I don't know how. And I don't know what to say. And I kid you not, I don't even know what the conversation, what it took place, what my first question was. And I started talking to him. And I kid you not, as I was sharing earlier, the words flowed so much that I even was thinking to myself, who is this person? And the Lord says, it's me. It's him, you know, speaking through me. And I just like, praise God. Hour and 15 minutes later, this man gave his heart to Christ. And so I knew that had I stuck with woe is me, had I been settled into my own problems, I would have missed this opportunity. And so I praise God for that. And he had shared that his daughter has been trying to get him to go to church. He goes to Victory Outreach, and he was just, you know, he would brush her off. And so I asked him, I said, will you promise me that you'll share what happened to you with your daughter? And he says, yes. And I said, will you promise me another thing? Will you go to church with her? And he goes, yes, I will. And so he was just left tripping because, you know, I'm not bold, he says. I haven't been bold, and no one's ever spoken to me about the Lord like you did. I said, well, and he was giving me the credit, and I said, no. This is all about Jesus wanting to meet you, wanting you to meet him. And so I just want to let you know that, you know, I just declare that any kind of brokenness in your past, that you just let it go and release it. And I kid you not, as I released it, the problems got smaller. I kid you not. It just didn't look big to me anymore. Yeah. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So, from the picture of last week, those problems, negativities, those lies, condemnation that are trying to continue to invade our life, we say no to them. They have to say no to us. They have to just park and leave. But they return because we're familiar with them. And next thing you know, we have another set of circumstances similar to the last set starts, and we start going back into that. So we have to not only say no to what is not of Christ and put it under his, you know, every thought captive to him, but we have to have the knowledge of Christ. We have to have an experience with Jesus that begins to be larger than the lie experience we're in. And I believe right now there's a fresh anointing for each of us to step into truth, to step into encountering Jesus in the Spirit, in his word, to allow something that captures your imagination and intrigues you into pursuit and is you can feed off of, you can drink and eat from and build from, so that then this freedom flows. We're not contending every day with the same old, same old. So if that's stirring in your heart today and you feel in your spirit, man, I want a new conversation. I'm tired of the one I've been having. Would you just stand up? I just feel the Holy Spirit's here to answer that prayer right now. I want to get out of the conversation I've been. It's just an old repeating storyline. Hallelujah, Jesus. So just lift up your hands as a sign of surrender. And we'll pray this simple prayer together, and I believe the Lord will hear this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. That when history would never change, you sent your Son. And he lived the life you asked him to live. And he died in our place as you asked him to die. He became sin for us. He was buried. And he was raised from the dead. Thank you that what he did is all the authority that I'll ever need to live a life free. Free from torment. Free from emotional distress. And so in the name of Jesus, I believe that my thoughts from this day will continue to become under Christ. And all of the contention against my soul, I'm walking away from it. I'm letting it go. I'm not answering the charges. I'm not going to solve the problem. I'm going to agree with Jesus and let the revelation of truth break into my life. Now, just take a moment and thank Jesus for the freedom and the beauty that he's about to bring and the joy. And if you need to just change a thought by speaking a different word over yourself, like depression, that's what you've been battling with, you begin to say joy. I am rejoicing in the joy inexpressible and full of glory. There's joy, joy. just taking a moment, because then I want to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and help us as we start a new journey of meditation. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you know each of us right now. We ask you to come personally, massage our heart, confirm God's word, show us what Jesus is doing, reveal to us what he's saying, and communicate to us victories that have been already won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's none of us, no one in this room is now exempt from the glory and victory of Jesus Christ. Everyone has a victory already assigned to them in Christ Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. You paid the price so we could be free. We admit that. Now, we're going to continue the prayer to ask, Lord, show me where to meditate in your scripture, where to begin the building of a new image of who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. So let's pray that together. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, show me your glory. Show me in scripture where you are to reveal your Son to me, that I might become what I see in your Son. That inside of the glory, I can be transformed from glory to glory. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to lead me into an active experience inside the glory of Jesus Christ, to bring transformation in my life. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring me to a scripture place, a portion of scripture that will launch me into a conversation where you will build truth into my heart and freedom into my life. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Now, just with your heart, listen for a portion of scripture, a book, a verse, a number. Just listen for a moment for the Holy Spirit to help already direct where you are to allow him to expand truth inside of you. Sometimes you don't know exactly where it is. You just know that there's a story that's coming back to my mind. There's a person in the Bible that's coming back to my mind. There's a promise that I remember long ago that's coming back to my mind. That's how the Holy Spirit will lead us to things that we've already heard before. Sometimes it's nothing we've heard, but we feel like it might be in the Bible, so we're going to have to go looking. When you've got something that's starting to stir in your imagination or a thought or a direction, raise your hand so I can know where we are in this. How well we're hearing. Okay, good. Just keep it up so I can see what we've got, everybody. I want to wait for as many people. There's a word for everyone today in Jesus' name. There's a word for everyone, There's hope. And if you don't have a scripture, think of a direction of where I should be, look into scripture. I should learn about God in this area. Okay, And for time's sake, I've seen this done before, and it is just as it's effective. Sometimes you just need to cast a lot. All right? I want you to choose. If you don't have any place to go, just choose a number between 1 and 100. Once you choose a number, okay? So everybody's got something, right? Hands up. The number you chose is the psalm that you're going to read. That psalm, whatever number between 1 and 100, is the psalm you're going to read, and God's going to speak to you there. If that isn't somewhere you're already being directed. So now, Holy Spirit, seal the words we're about to discover as we go home and as we go into our week. Make this become one of the most enlightening, exciting journey in the presence of God, in the scriptures of God, to live in the victory of Christ that you've given us to enjoy. We thank you for this, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. There'll be ministry team available to pray for anybody that would like to come on up. We would pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you this week.